Okay. Well, it's good to be up here and see everybody. You know, it's kind of a different pace, I guess, when you're sitting in a chair versus, you know, being up here in the front. A lot of people consider it very nervous and very nerve-wracking, I would say. And in some cases that is, but I think as you get older and you've done it more and more, you just realize, you know what, we're a family. So there's nothing to be afraid about. Today, I'm kind of posing the question, can a Christian nowadays live in such a fast-paced like world? You know, patience. Is it possible to be here as a Christian in a fast food, fast money, and a fast-paced like world? You know, we can look at the fast food industry. You know, back probably just 60 years ago, we definitely see the world in a slower pace. You know, you would have the rolling store. You know, they used to have it where you would come by and, you know, you would have to choose what you wanted off the cart. But you had to wait for that cart to even come to your house. Obviously, they were a little bit in worse conditions as far as they were considered all poor, pretty much. I think that's why they probably called it the Great Depression. There was no such thing as fast food then. I mean, it was, you did good to have food. I have a little side story that I always find interesting. My grandfather, I call him Dida. I did not choose that for him. It was actually my older cousin, but that's just what we call him. So Dida. One day, him and his pal were sitting around, and he said, "Hey, I got this great idea." He said, "We just need just $100 worth of money, and we can get you stock into this company." He said, "It's just a couple of places where we just flip a couple of hamburgers, and you know, people come in and just get it whenever they want." My grandfather said, "Well," he goes, "that's never going to catch. Nobody's going to want to do that." Well, today that's called McDonald's, and it'd be a little bit different story, I would say. You know, obviously, you don't always catch up what you think is going to happen. Sometimes can shock you. Now, as far as today is considered, we just can't get our food fast enough. I can't tell you how many new ways that they're advertising to do things. One is you get the call ahead. You know, if you need to reserve seats, you want to, you know, just walk right in after you've, you know, been driving, and you want that call ahead. Or they even have things now like through Taco Bell. I know you can order things online and then go pick it up. You don't even have to wait anymore. You just order it, just pay for it, and it's done. Then you have the pre-cooked meals. Like some of those are not exactly the greatest. You could do like the microwave dinners, the instant mashed potatoes. You have all this little fast stuff that's just there at fingertips. Then we get into the fast money. Once again, you know, you look back around 60 years ago, obviously, money was not exactly the easiest thing to come by. That's, once again, why we call it the Great Depression. It was a war of a lack of being able to buy goods as far as abundantly. There was no such thing as leftovers. Usually, it was something that you just had for barely that meal, more or less, you know, something later on. And of course, obviously, there was a little bit of issues of preserving things as well, but the idea was, you know, hard enough as it was. Then, you know, obviously they had the idea is trying to get money. You know, you worked and it was all you could do just to get money. I mean, you know, my grandfather told me that it was like a nickel for gas. You know, nowadays that's just kind of unbelievable to think about, that you could even get gas for a nickel, you know. Then we get into closer today. Even though it's not perfect, obviously our economy's, you know, somewhat on a rebound, money seems to be a lot easier. You have direct deposit. So for those that work in the company and you have the direct deposit, you can go out and spend it instantly. You know, you're like, oh, paycheck day. All right, go spend this. Then you have the ATMs. If you need money, just go right up to it. Poof, credit card, you got that. You know, you can just spend away and all kinds of money, and you, even if you don't have it, you just use that credit card. You have the, at least, if you drive anywhere to close down towards Madison, every other block seems to have a check in the cash or a Title Max or something of the sorts, where you can just get cash instantly. Then we get into the fast-paced type world. You know, about 60 years ago, it seems more like, I would say, the Mayberry, you know, with Andy Griffith and all that kind of deal. You know, people enjoyed just the simple walks. You know, you walk around town, you just enjoyed hanging out with everybody. You know, you go fishing, you could, you know, have long talks with your family. You know, you would tell stories back and forth, even puzzles. You would just have, you know, if you had the ability to have puzzles, you just build and build all these puzzles, and you just enjoyed life. Then you could do wood carving. You know, you could mess around on cars that needed fixing, you know, or just whatever you wanted to do. And or, as my grandfather always would say, is just have fun kicking a can. He literally would take a can and just kick it around, and that was fun for him. I don't judge on that. Anyway, today, obviously, we can't go fast enough. We need to rush to work, just usually to wait in traffic. We can't wait in a long line at the grocery, and we have to be a quick rate at whatever we do, or it's just not good enough. You know, you can see the huge differences between this. Examples of lack of patience in the Bible would be Proverbs 14:17. And I'll just kind of paraphrase for you. But it says, a quick-tempered person does foolish things. Also, we should all be familiar with the story in Genesis 25:30. That's where Jacob and Esau are talking to each other. And Esau says to Jacob, he says, quick, let me have some of that red stew. We all know what that ended up happening. Obviously, he gave his birthright, and he just didn't have time to think about it anymore. He may have been a little bit smarter. Then we go back to Proverbs 21:5, and it says that good planning and hard work leads to prosperity, but the haste leads to poverty. Also, in 1 Kings 21, we see Jezebel wanting Naboth's land to the point that she pretty much gets him murdered just so she could have that for her husband. Now, examples today, all right? One of the things I thought about was the lack of thought. Something you said, but you really didn't want to say it, and you just can't eat your words, so to say. You know, you make fun of somebody, and then you feel terrible right afterwards, or you say something you didn't mean, and all of a sudden, you've hurt somebody's feelings, and you wish you could take it back. Sometimes you even can lose your job because you didn't think about before who you were talking to, and your boss didn't quite like that sarcastic answer, and there's your job. Sometimes even over simple games, you know, you can miss a simple step because you overlooked it. You could hurt somebody because they weren't, you know, keeping up with your pace. One of the coolest stories that I can think of is when this trains. I don't know if you've played this game, but you have to get so many cards and you make a little train across the United States, but you can't cross over other people's in every area, so you have to be very smart as this goes. There's an online app that we use, and a few of us play it. And Kristen was one of the very first times that I played the game with. And the ones that were playing this game, we were watching everything go along, and we were, you know, doing pretty good. We were having a couple of trains. She had nothing on the board. It was quite shocking, and I'm like, does she not know how to play? Is this what's going on, you know? And as she keeps drawing all these cards and drawing the cards, and I'm like, she's never going to be able to lay down anything. We're going to have the whole United States covered on these train tracks. Well, within probably 10 minutes of the game completely being going on and everything, all of a sudden she lays down everything. I don't know how it happened. It was like I blinked and it was there. I have never seen anybody do that before. And it's, you know, to me, it's a good example of patience. I mean, she knew exactly what she was doing. Nobody else did, but she blew us all away. Traffic. Oh, boy, that one's a rough one. You ran a stoplight because you were late, and, you know, you got pulled over, and a cop gets you, and then it only makes you even more later, and that makes you mad. Because you're like, I'm late already, and now I have to wait for the cop to give me a ticket. Oh, boy. Or road rage. That seems to be one of the quickest things growing, is road rage. And it usually gets the best of you, and sometimes, in some cases, and not in all cases, hopefully we can, being a Christian, keep up with that and think about the other person. But some people don't, and they get a little reckless, and then even get to the point where maybe they have injured somebody because they ran them over or off the road or I can't remember, there was one a couple months ago where somebody actually shot at somebody because they were cut them off. So, obviously we understand that this world, especially nowadays, is a little bit rough as far as the lack of patience. So, why is it important for patience? Well, obviously, for all the examples above, but being a Christian, knowing that all these wonderful things that you would want to be fully patient, you know, think about it this way. You being a Christian, okay, now, take all this stuff that you know and say you somehow got transported back to the future, I mean, into the past, and you were having to convert your old self. You know, obviously you would want to take all this time because you know how important it is. And you would want yourself to be a Christian, you know, then. Why would you change it for anybody else? When you go to talk to somebody, when you go to explain Christianity, remember that. Remember you would want that Christianity. You would want that information, that walk with Christ. And you would want somebody to be patient with you when you struggle through and try to understand what Christ is wanting for you in your life. One of the things that I guess you could think about otherwise of how would be in 2 Timothy 4:2. And once again, I'll kind of paraphrase for us. But it says, to preach the word, be prepared in and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage. And with great patience and careful instruction. Also, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, it says this, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and into the knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience the godliness, and to godliness with the brotherly affection, and the brotherly affection with love. For these qualities are yours, and hopefully are increasing, and that will keep you from being ineffective and or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he talks about in Psalms 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. Once again, I think we get a little ahead of ourselves. We get to the point where we just can't slow down. We get all caught up in this fast food life. Everything's got to go fast money, fast pace. Everything has got to be moving, or you just feel like you're just, well, I guess you fill in the blank, because everybody feels something different. You know, it's one of those things where we need to be more in the idea of the example of Job. You know, I can't tell you how many times my parents were like, Jared, you had the patience of Job. Jared, you had the patience of Job. Every other breath, I guess they were telling me I was lazy or slow or something. But Job had patience and self-control all through his temptations and trials, which he was able to pass the test. And God rewarded him in due time. You know, sometimes we don't understand why it's not going faster. Why has Christ not already come back? It's been 2,000 years, and it's only growing. And we're like, okay, God, you know, you said you're coming back. In fact, even the apostles thought so. When he was going to ascend, and they saw him going up into the clouds, they were just kind of sitting there waiting for him to come back. And they had to bring some angels down and say, hey, you know, he'll come back, but you need to continue to work. You know, they were thinking it was going to be a quick thing. So if you had a choice right now, and I know some of you, especially if you've been in my class before, will know this, but if you haven't heard it, this will be pretty interesting. Let's say right now that each one of you, I was able to give $1 million to, okay? And you had 10 seconds to decide whether to take that $1 million or a penny doubled every day for 30 days. Which one would you take? Now, if you had 10 seconds, obviously, you know, you have to make up your mind pretty quick. Most people that I've talked to usually take the $1 million because they're like, hey, that's exactly where to go. However, if you do the math, on the 10th day of this penny being doubled every day, you get $10.24, okay? So you're doubling it up as you go. So on day 20, you're at $10,485.76. And by day 30, the last day, you're at $10,737,418.24. So it gets a little adding up pretty quick there. I actually have done the math, if you want to see afterwards. It gets a little confusing, but you know, it's interesting how fast it doubles. And I think a lot of the times, that's how we kind of see God work in our lives. You know, sometimes, you know, the Satan is like, hey, Jared, I got this thing right over here for you. You can have it right now. Yeah, it's all right. It's okay. Just go ahead and take it. It's instant. The issue is God wants to give us certain things, but sometimes we need to wait for Him to give it to us. And then it's so much better. It's more than what we could even think of. You know, you think about the worldly people. They're always looking for the now, the instant. They're wanting this gratification now. But God later on says, look, if you can withhold these things, not only will I give them to you, but when you get into heaven, you'll have that eternally. You know, it may take a while, but God is not a God that goes back on His promises. If He says that He will give it to you, you will find it, and you will get it. So, obviously, we look at heaven, and, you know, we have all these tons of Christians, and our lives go from wanting to be, you know, at 9 years old, we want to be 18 because we can drive. And then when you get to 18, you want to be 25, just till you can get out of college. And then you can go from 25, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go to 65 so I can retire, you know, some of you. I don't know, not everybody always retires at 65, but that's what you think. And so you keep wishing your life away. You don't take the slow idea of just, you know, the slow success of baby steps. You know, or just watching a baby for the very first time just say their words. You know, we need to learn to slow down and enjoy God's life that He has prepared for us. Because in the beginning of Genesis, He does say when He created everything, He said, it is good. And He said, you know, so we can, don't rush it or we'll miss the opportunities to help others. You know, thinking back into the Great Depression from what my grandfather tells me all of his stories, you know, it may be rough, but family was important. Not everyone, you know, today is looking out for each other. It's more for number one, you know, yourself. But back then, it seemed everybody was trying to help everyone. It seemed like everybody was trying to help those because they were also in the same boat. You know, as Christians, I think we should kind of take some of those old principles and realize we need to be helping each other. We need to be able to be there for one another. But as I close out this story and these thoughts, I want to let you remember one little children's book. Remember that the tortoise did beat the hare. You know, sometimes we get in such a fast pace, we miss over some of the most beautiful parts of life. Watching a sunset or a sunrise. Watching a flower bloom for its very first time. Sometimes it takes a little while, but it's the most beautiful. So, if there's anyone that needs to find a closer walk with God or would like to ask for prayers, then please come as we stand and sing.